We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Ed Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
All right, welcome back to the 8 o'clock hour. Let's go right to him. Craig Mish, national radio host for SiriusXM, joins us as we get real close to that trade deadline in Major League Baseball. Craig, how you doing this morning?
Good morning, Joe. What's going on?
Man, it's been a long time. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Do you think Giancarlo Stanton would have come to do the Mikosuke Sports Rap Show?
You know what? That's a great question. I'm guessing maybe the first year, but no shot now. Absolutely no shot.
Wait a minute, you guys used to send a limo for somebody and give them lunch.
Oh, like, no, listen, that show treated people. There wasn't another show in town on ABC, NBC, Fox that was limoing people in, feeding them the way we did, getting them in and out. I mean, you got treated right on that Mikosuke show, right, Craig?
Do you believe that we did that show for 10 years? We had Pete Rose, we had Jim Brown. We had Dennis Rodman. We had Dwayne Wade before he was Dwayne. I mean, it was incredible.
Before he changed. Yeah.
No. Yeah, we would have had to send five limos.
Yeah.
That show was unbelievable. We did have some great guests on that thing, man. You look back, and that was fantastic stuff for sure. Craig, real quickly, before we'll start with ownership and the status of Jorge Mas. What do you think is going to happen? Are they going to get a deal done with one of these groups? How's this going to play out over the next few weeks?
It's a really, really tough one because I think that most people, guys, don't even really have a handle on the situation. It almost seems like to me that there's a story that's put out that paints a negative light on the sale, and then within like 5 minutes, by some miracle, it's like, oh, but it's still going to happen and everything's okay.
Yeah.
And this guy's going to buy it. I mean, you wonder, by the way, where that's coming from, right?
So, yeah, right.
Yeah, so my assumption is, to this point, Major League Baseball has let Jeffrey Loria and the ownership group to themselves. They have not gotten involved. They don't want to set a precedent to where if you sell a Major League Baseball team, we're going to get involved and make you do it. But I think it's getting close to that point, meaning the trade deadline especially, where you're going to be the owner of a new franchise. You want to have a say on which players
right.
are here and which players are gone. So I think at some point they're going to have to step in and say, hey, look, and I've always said along that baseball wants $1 billion for this franchise. That's the floor for this. So inevitably it will be, I think, $1 billion. And whether or not it is Mas or maybe at this stage it really looks like what's happening is that Loria wants Jeter to be part of this so badly that they're giving Jeter every opportunity to either join the Mas group or come up with his own money. That's just me speculating. I don't know for sure on that. But
it seems that way that he's got a special relationship with Jeter. I agree.
Yeah. So inevitably, I think somehow Jeter is involved in this. Jeter toured the stadium a few years ago behind the scenes. So my guess is in some way he is involved. But I can understand if the story that came out yesterday with Moss's frustration. I mean, my gosh, like he's offered the most money and it's just him and it seems like a clean sale. And yet they won't negotiate with him directly.
Craig, is there a chance that whoever buys this team, the Mas group, the Romney group, the Joe Rose group, whoever ends up buying this team is going to be put in place, and the one thing, the one caveat from Jeffrey Loria is going to be, well, just keep David Sampson on board.
There's no way.
Hey, could that be part of what's going on here, where it's kind
no
of
way,
waiting
Craig,
also for somebody to say yes to that?
I've heard that.
That's a nightmare.
Who would want to keep that little idiot on, seriously?
I've heard that, but I can't see it from a – and listen, what the Marlins
bad
haven't
business.
Cared about in the last 20 years is public perception. We know that. They haven't cared. But I think that this time around, with the new ownership group, I think it's going to be really hard to do that. I think that they're going to want to start fresh. And look, David, to his credit, is the main reason, and for better or for worse, why that stadium is there.
Oh, he got it done. Absolutely. Again, so. We are fair on this show. He did it. And I don't know if it's going to happen. I've heard it's not. Jeffrey Lurie should be writing a little fat check to getting the value up to where it is right now and where it was a couple of years ago. He should be writing David Sampson a nice little former son-in-law check for a lot of money.
Thanks
but I don't
for
know
everything.
If it's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah, he will. He will. And listen, they also extended the president, Mike Hill, for 5 years. He's got a five-year extension.
Why?
Right now,
what has he done, Craig? What has he done that he should be allowed that when you got one of the worst minor league systems and you're in the boat where you are 7 or 8 games below .500? Why should Mike Hill be getting an extension?
I think he would tell you himself that he deserves some of the blame, but I would also tell you, and we could do this for hours with the stories that I have that have never even been told, that a lot of this it still comes down to Jeffrey Loria has been involved in every single facet of the deal. I'm known as a really good, I guess, fantasy football player, but if you asked me to go run the Saints, I'd be terrible. And he runs the team as if it's like a fantasy team. He just, if he looks at, he is very astute in terms of knowledge of baseball for sure. But, they make jokes all the time that he's a subscriber to Baseball America. And if his players aren't in Baseball America, you can call the Marlins and you can get players from the organization because he doesn't know who they are. And this is what's happened. So, he's just he's very passionate. He wants to win just as much or more than anyone.
Yeah, I think he does. I agree with that too. I want to ask you about this one because your story's been all over the country with this, and that's the Giancarlo Stanton story. 28 home runs, leading the National League after hitting a couple again last night. There's no way they trade him, right? That's got to be one that's left for new ownership.
Well, I mean, maybe what it is the purchase price at this point is too high with Stanton. I mean, that's definitely up for the taking at this point. Maybe that's what gets the deal done by moving him. The Marlins haven't taken any calls, meaning not one team has even said, hey, what would it take to get Stanton from us in about 5 years? No one's even called. And the fact that teams are starting to, look, does it mean he's going to get traded? Is there a better than 50% chance of that? I would say no. But let's also be realistic. And the thing that people feel like he's not a player that can get traded. In 5 years from now, Joe and Zach, what are contracts going to look like in Major League Baseball? Stanton's contract, maybe $30 million. What is Harper going to make? Yeah. What is Manny Machado? I mean, these guys may make $38, $40 million a year. So this contract may look a lot better in a few years. So I certainly think that there's a chance they could move him. And by the way, if they did, I'm not opposed to it. It would certainly give the team the opportunity to keep the rest of the guys there, like Ozuna and Yelich and somebody, because they can't keep them all. It's impossible. They cannot have $155 million payroll in 75 games. Can't do it.
The other question would be, who's on the hot seat to get traded? Who's most likely to be gone by the end of the month?
Well, they lost one of those opportunities last night with Martin Prado, who's owed $13 million next year and $15 million the year after that.
Wow.
Like, scratch your head on that one. $28 million, he got hurt. He's not going to get traded. So does that open the door to maybe some other ideas? I mean, we have to be fluid with this and think so. A.J. Ramos and David Phelps, the back end of the bullpen guys, no question about it, they're going to be moved. Other teams, interestingly enough, are not waiting until the 31st. We've seen a couple of deals go down prior to that. We saw the Nationals make a deal. We saw the Cubs make a deal. So if I'm the Marlins, I mean, now you're playing with fire a little bit, running the risk. Hey, you just lost Prado. If we're going to try and get some players back in return, do we do it now or do we do it in 2 weeks? I'm hoping for their sake they really have an open mind with this and maybe start thinking about doing that now. Those two players are definitely in play. The rest of them is all speculation at this point.
Would Stan on the trade block, would he be able to help out bring in 3, 4, 5 prospects to this team? Or you think the Marlins, if they did get rid of Stan, would want to bring in major leaguers right away? I'm thinking if you're getting rid of Stan, I want to redo AAA, the whole farm system, whatever I could do. Is that kind of what they're thinking with that? Or do you think they want to try to get pitching? Like, what could Stan get on the market right now?
That's what they should have done in the offseason, Zach. They should not have gone out and given Prado a 3-year deal and Tozawa a 2-year deal and Ziegler. These are all players that could have gotten 1-year deals, and they gave 3-year deals to these players. So because of the financial situation with those, If it was me, I would tear the whole thing down. I would keep a handful of players. Marlins fans are not going to want to hear that, but you know what? You guys look at the Cubs. Look at the Astros. They lost 100 games 3 years in a row. Cubs win the World Series. Astros are probably on their way this year. There's nothing in the farm system. There's no one to call up from a pitching perspective. There's no one. There's nothing. They're going to have to do it again, and they have nowhere to go. My guess is it would be low-level pitching prospects. People will freak out, and they'll say, oh, it's the wrong move, and they're tearing it down, when that's not the case. They have to, in some way, find a way to win in 2-3 years down the line with some starting pitching. Do you think that just automatically they're going to go into next year and sign Jake Arrieta or sign a big-ticket free agent? They're not going to do it. They need to build young players. They have nothing in the minors.
Craig, and final question here for you. When do you think this deal – it's going to get done. I totally agree with everybody. They are going to get rid of this team. How long are we looking at realistically?
Well, in 2 weeks, if a deal is not done, then this thing's going to the offseason. That's my opinion on it, because then there's no reason at that point to do anything. I'm hopeful that in 2 weeks we get some sort of agreement, but certainly, Joe, the news last night basically saying that at this point the Moss Group may pull out of this thing. And again, I don't believe 95% of the stuff that I've seen so far. My best indication were the same thing that you guys saw, which was Moss sitting behind Jeffrey Lurie at the All-Star game. Okay, well, that gave me the indication maybe that this is the group.
Yeah,
but at this stage, he's treating, it's his team. He's treating it like a work of art. I have my price. Until I get my price, I'm not selling it. The only question will be, will the commissioner, Rob Manfred, come in and say, hey, look, if you're really selling the team and you're really going to get this done, let's come to an agreement and let these new owners come in and have their way with what they want to do with the deadline.
Craig, always great having you, man. Really appreciate you coming on and talking some baseball with us. You take care of yourself.
Anytime. Got some great, great stories, by the way, to share that would blow your mind next time you have me on.
I like that. It's a good tease right there.
You know what that means? We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Craig. We'll see you next week.
Okay, take care.
Well, you booked us a guest for next week. Very good.
He teased us. Yeah, don't tease me, Craig.
It was a great radio tease.
You got some
great,
unbelievable stories.
Yeah, well,
I think you want. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
Oh, 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 oh. Goal! Goal!
You know what that is? That's your cue to call, 800-227-0560. Be caller number 5 right now, and you're going to win 2 tickets to see Juventus play Paris Saint-Germain on Wednesday and be registered to win a pair of 100-level seats to Real Madrid and Barcelona Saturday night, the 29th. El Clasico, the hottest ticket, is in town, and we have your tickets here on the Joe Rose Show. Be listening every day between 8 and 8:30 for your chance to win and be registered for the big tickets. Could happen at any time during 8 and 8:30, 8:01, 8:29, 8:25, whatever it is, every day for the next 2 weeks.
A lot of star power on Barcelona Real Madrid.
Hot, hard to get ticket, especially in the 100 level. So you're willing to spend some big bucks.
That's good stuff. That's gonna be a fun one. Yeah. They got a bunch of events. I don't know if I'm gonna go to any of them, but talking about lots of concerts and a lot of stuff around it to make it a real. And by the way, I think the Dade County Mayor's getting invited too.
Wow.
Actually, how about that? The date they're going to have Mayor Jimenez. He's going to get invited to everything.
He wasn't invited to the last big event down here, right? No. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
David Sampson had a little temper tantrum. Didn't want to have him on there. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of text messages coming in. What do you got for us?
I will dive into the plumbers911.com text line 56022. First one that comes in probably came from Hollywood, but I'll read it anyway. Don't you hate when you get in your car late and miss the wood lines? Hands down, the best segment on the show.
There you go.
Did you text that in? Or
no, his wife. Okay. It was very nice.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. It was great. A 305 number. It actually could have been. That's right.
I love my husband.
Yeah. Your show sucks. Don't you know baseball's going on? And I wrote back to the guy, what's baseball? And he wrote back America's pastime, and I wrote back past, correct. He's not happy with us.
Yeah, that's all right. What'd he say? He said it was...
Our show sucks, and do we know that baseball's going on? He said it's America's pastime. Oh, excuse me, America's pastime, moron. I think he was referring to you.
That's
there.
All right. You can't you can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That point, especially on the text line. We love the text coming in on the plumbers911.com text line. Another one coming in. Joe, you should do your own reality show and call it the Pooper Scooper. Watch Joe Rose and his trusted shovel battle his neighbors and their pooping dogs. Could be the intro to that.
Never heard anything back yesterday.
Nothing? And not I even thought, like the poop back
I thought
in
for
yours?
Sure. And you know what? I never said a word to my wife yesterday.
Well,
just kind of went on and didn't look outside.
So the wife and kids didn't know you did it, right?
No.
Okay. That's good. No, I'm glad. That's good. So you can't get in really trouble for anything at this point.
There's no
24 hour rule's over now.
My wife wouldn't have thought it was very funny that I shoveled up the poop off my yard and put it on the front porch at somebody else's house that two huge over 100 pound dogs dumped on my yard. Mm. You know, when you start talking about 100 pound dogs, the size of the poop.
Man poops. Yeah, I know what those are.
Huge.
Yeah. I got a 65-pound bulldog. I know what that looks like, so I can only imagine a 100-pound dog. Anyways, here's another one from the 786. Marino was drafted as the 11th quarterback in Peter King's draft list, with the exception of Unitas and Otto Graham. It's hard to argue Marino should have gone higher than the 9th QB selected. Think of this. He almost missed being drafted.
But what does Marino not being drafted have to do with career and how good you were?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm biased because I was down here and I saw
everybody
him,
knows the story. I think most people understand the background, and there was some history there that people were concerned with Marino, and they all started passing on it and everything else.
Here's one. Never provided 13 the playoff formula. Hashtag strong defense and running game at the same time, not in different years. 1 year strong defense, no running game, nothing.
For Marino, it was just pure passing, if that's what the quarterback position's about. And just throwing the football, and I know there's numbers and now there's records that have been broken. I know there's guys that have won championships. I understand all that stuff, especially in the last 10 or 15 years, championship. But just dropping back and throwing the football, he's not taking a back seat to anybody. I don't care what the numbers say. He's not taking a back seat to anybody in the fourth quarter, the first quarter. Never.
No.
Just dropping back and bringing his team back.
Gunslinger. Yep.
That's all.
Those are my favorite games to watch as a kid.
But
win or lose, it was still 42-28
Bradshaw, Pete Prisco is going to join us. He's like, how do you put, if you're doing this right, how does Bradshaw go ahead of Marino as far as quarterback? And the only thing I could think was
rings. That's all they're going to throw in your face.
The rings.
Yep. That's it.
Played on, if not the greatest Super Bowl, I mean, the Steelers Super Bowl teams from top to bottom, man. It's hard to put the Steelers football teams behind anybody as far as great teams of all time. Who Bradshaw was throwing to, who was running it, and who was playing on that defense, including a Hall of Fame corner, Hall of Fame linebacker, or two linebackers, and Mean Joe Green in that defensive line.
Yeah, not bad. Not a bad defense, that defense.
Offensive line was good.
Give that defense to Marino's offense in the 80s.
That team was really good. I'm not sure how you're doing it. And then, you know, Dan Fouts comes out on this Monday morning quarterback all-time draft team, and he goes with Ray Guy fourth overall.
It kind of made it
like
a joke.
Fourth overall, not fourth round.
No,
but fourth overall pick. You're going, let me see, great players of all time. Who in their right mind is going to put maybe the greatest punter of all time fourth? He's still the punter.
He should be the first punter chosen, but that's also in the 20th round of this draft. You know, like you don't pick.
I would agree. He'll go down. He was that much better than everybody else.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But come on. I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Joe, if Jim Harbaugh was coaching the NFL, Colin Kaepernick would be in an NFL on his team because Harbaugh knows his potential. Kaepernick helped a team get two and almost win a Super Bowl, and there's a possibility of teams looking at Johnny Manziel, who can't stay sober and even played a full season ever. He's a joke. For Kaepernick to say anything would almost be like he's begging to play again when he shouldn't have to, when other former and current players have constantly been given second and third chances. I'm just saying, hashtag Jedi.
See, I disagree that everybody knows what my resume is. I shouldn't have to, like, no. You need to let everybody know you want to play after the circumstances from a year ago, and your football team wasn't very good. You need to let people know. Like, why did the 49ers, who didn't exactly have a great quarterback situation, let you go? Yeah. I think you need to let people know you really want to play. If you really want to get back in the league, this is not, well, I'll wait, and they should know. I mean, no.
You need to tell them. Back in. Get back in, play good, and then you don't have to worry about it ever again.
Sit home and wait for somebody to call you about a job. You need to let people know you're interested. Swallow a little ego there, man.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Not always tasty, but you got to do it.
We gave out the ACC kind of votes earlier in the show, and someone wrote in, funny how FSU is favored to win, but I already read this. Louisville put 62 points on them. It's an interesting text. FSU is really good this year, though. Really good. Good defense, good offense.
Louisville's fun to watch, though.
Yeah, of course.
A couple of their games. My God, he is fun to watch.
Oh, someone texted in the guy who said our show sucks. Laugh out loud. If it sucks, why is the guy listening? Everyone should know by now it could be so much worse. Thanks. I don't know if that was a compliment or not, but I'll take it.
You know, it's not a great show, but, you know, you can always go to something else if you're not.
That texter texted back in. I'm not Hollywood's wife or in any way affiliated with Mr. Wood. Because he's the one who texted in Wood Lines is my favorite part of the show.
Wood's not bad.
Mm. No, I mean, I'm a little miserable.
He's not afraid if, like,
No, he'll
take
get at
somebody
you.
On.
No, he'll get at you. I give Hollywood credit for that. He doesn't care.
Why does it rip the guy that he likes the segment?
No, it's good.
Yeah. It's a nice, I mean, it's
no,
nice
you're
guy.
Making fun of the guy, calling him my wife. Like, well, why do you have to rip the guy?
Come on.
You know my wife doesn't listen to the show.
If somebody strokes you and says something nice, we always joke around. Oh, it was nice that my mom called in or my dad called, you know, or something like that.
Well, your attempt at a joke didn't land.
Okay, it wasn't very funny.
I laughed.
What else you have? Give me one more.
Let me find one here. The problem Marino had was the Bills and Denver were the better teams that went to 9 Super Bowls. That's why Marino doesn't get all the credit. Those were the other two good teams, I guess you could say, when Danny was around.
But this is not, I don't think this is about teams.
No, it's about individual play. And would you take him to start your team or not? Yes. I agree with that.
Still on the list. I was glad to see Dwight Stevenson up that list. He was
on
way up there.
Jason Taylor's on there, too. I saw JT's name on there. Not a lot of Dolphins, but they're on
there. You know, it's weird. You go through that list and you start looking and you're going, how's Jerry Rice not the first wide receiver taken? I mean, nobody's got. And I had to go look up Don Hutson. I was like, oh, God, you're going way back. And he put up huge numbers when they played, 10 or 11 games or whatever they played back in
1935 to 1945, Joe. Not saying that my mom, my dad are kind of
but
older
like
people,
I can't
but they
even
born yet.
I can't even make a comment on that except to say that no matter whether he played 70 or 80 years ago or he's playing today, there is nobody that did everything you're looking for like Jerry Rice. He's got championships.
Mm-hmm.
He's got numbers. He's got 200 touchdowns.
A lot.
Yeah. How would Jerry Rice not be one of your first couple of picks?
I don't understand it. How is he not the first wide receiver picked overall? That's my thing. I'm also looking at this year.
But I can't go back. I mean, you're going back literally 85
to
90 45? Years ago. Yeah, like I'm not.
By the way, Gil Brandt is one of the experts in this draft. Did you notice his first two picks overall? First pick was Jim Brown. I don't think there's any debate on that. No, second pick after that was Walter Payton. He's starting his team with two running backs.
Oh, that's weird.
The more I look into this, the more these guys that Peter King had do this.
This is what happens a week before camp starts.
No, I know. I know.
And you get all these guys that have been around the league, so they're not just a bunch of writers that just got jobs 8 or 9 years ago.
Yep.
He went out and got some guys. I'm guessing most of that list is in their 70s or 80s.
Ernie Accorsi.
Those guys are all guys
Ron
that
Wolf,
been around the
Gil
league.
Gil Brandt. Right. Bob McGinn, who was a Packer beat writer for 2,000 years.
Dan Fouts has got to be.
Fouts just possibly on his way into the draft hit his head on the door. And then they're like, who do you like first? He's like, Ray Guy.
We had him backed up 3 times 1 year and he just kicked it. God, it's still going.
I just want to get Pete Prisco going on that. I just want to ask him what he thinks about the Ray
Guy.
Guy and Dan Marino, go. That's what I'm going to say to him. Ray Guy, Dan Marino, go.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. And we'll ask him about suspension with Elliott coming up, Kirk Cousins, and that strange deal with the Redskins, and Colin Kaepernick.
There is a lot going on for kind of the 6-week period in between.
I have heard some of the writers saying, stop talking about Johnny Manziel. Stop. Stop it. I'd rather hear about Tim Tebow's single A career.
Ooh, having that walk off home run,
Johnny Manziel.
What?
Well, now everybody's talking about Johnny Manziel's already a better baseball player than football player.
Oh, come on. Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow, I mean.
Oh, maybe.
Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel.
I mean, he already is doing more now. I did win a playoff game.
Actually, it'd be good for Johnny to hang around with Tim Tebow for a month.
You want to have that come to Jesus meeting? You're with him.
Be a big one right there. Huge.
Doesn't do anything bad.
We got to go to a break.
Okay. Whatever you want to do.
You done with these?
Sure. Now I am, yes.
All right. We got a bond.
Wait. Now I'm done.
Do you really get back to everybody?
Yeah, I write back to a lot of guys. Yeah, why not? It just depends. If they kind of rip us, I do. If they're nice to us, I'm just like, hey, thanks for it. But if they rip us, I go all at it. I act like Hollywood in real life. All at them. Right in your face. Radio.com.
Hey, let's get a little football fix here, man, before the NFL teams all report to camp in the next week plus a little bit. Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com joins us. Pete, good morning, man. How you doing?
What's up, Joe? How are you?
I'm doing great. I see you've been busy up in Jacksonville doing a few local radio shows up there, huh?
Yeah, you know, I used to do that in the afternoon for 7 years. So yeah, every once in a while, they pull me back in. You know, you can't get out of it.
Well, we got a lot of stuff. We got a kick out of you going after Peter King and the panel over there going after the Marino stuff. We got a great laugh over that whole thing as they tried to do something. You know, it's that time of year, and you try to come up with something creative. And the 12-man panel of the all-time draft NFL, which I'm not sure exactly how they came up with, and Dan Fouts, by the way, he kind of killed the whole thing with Ray Guy fourth overall and the whole damn thing. What'd you think?
Well, Ray Guy's not even the best Raiders punter of all time. you know what it is with Ray Guy? We romanticize Ray Guy because back in the day, they made a big deal out of him because he was the first one that boom punched, and that was, you know, we didn't have that all the 24-hour news cycle, so they romanticize them. If you go look at every single stat, now the punters are bigger, stronger, and more trained than they were back then, but Shane Leckler is a much better punter than Ray Guy, and anybody who disputes that is off base. So that's absurd to pick him number four, but Terry Bradshaw over Dan Marino, are you kidding me? It's not even close. And you know, diehard Steeler fans, you know, Marino's obviously from Pittsburgh as well, so they love Danny too, but come on, people. There's no way in hell Terry Bradshaw was in the same sentence with Dan Marino. He was benched for Joe Gilliam.
Don't you think a lot of that had to do? Is that just championships? Does that have to do with the rings?
And it's unfair to Dan. I mean, to me, I can't stand when people prop up quarterbacks based on the rings. I mean, look, it's great, but that's a team stat. That's what that is. It's a team stat. I know quarterbacks are sometimes defined by what they do in the postseason and if you win a ring, but anybody who can look at any of the ring winners and go look down there and show me how many of those guys that you can actually make a case that are better than Dan Marino as a pure passer, football player, quarterback in the pocket, good luck with that.
Pete, the first thing I said to Joe when we started looking at this list, this is before I even saw you start tweeting with Peter King and go, Joe, I mean, Ray Guy Fourth already makes this list to me just a joke. It's an absolute joke. And then I see other picks. And listen, I think it's a cool concept, you know, doing this. Like Joe said, it's the offseason. We're looking to just get a football fix before the camp start at the end of this month. And then I'm really going to be nitpicky for a second. Gil Brandt, you have your first two picks overall. He picks Jim Brown and Walter Payton. Both guys are exceptional. Both guys are top three running backs of all time, but if I'm starting an all-time team, I'm not starting with both those guys on my team. I'm kind of going with another position there. Little things like that just kind of made this kind of a joke list instead of being probably a pretty cool list to be in the offseason.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Those are the foremost football minds in the business right there.
I don't want to take a shot, you know, but I know what you mean.
Gil Brandt did a top 25 running back list recently, and he didn't have Fred Taylor on it, but he had Ezekiel Elliott on it. Are you kidding me? I mean, look. And, you know, I don't know if you guys could tell by the tone of Peter's response to me, but he was clearly miffed that I challenged him on it.
Of course.
I mean, you know, and, you know, that's one thing in our business. Not a lot of people challenge Peter King, but you guys know me. I'll challenge anybody.
Well, the other thing is Jerry Rice. Like, when I think of doing the list, and I had no problem with LT at one, but and the quarterbacks at the top of that list are all really good players, but Don't you put Jerry Rice somewhere right? I mean, he was a high pick, don't get me wrong, but doesn't Jerry Rice go right up there at the top, or am I missing something with you, Pete?
No, look, the value of the position isn't as great as a pass rusher, so obviously you take the quarterback, so you take that into account. But I went a couple years ago, went to Tahoe and spent some time with Jerry Rice and did a story on him being the greatest football player of all time.
Right.
And the reason he's the greatest football player of all time, because there's no argument about who the greatest receiver is. You can go to any other position, anyone, you know, whether it's the running backs, whether it's the quarterbacks, whether it's the offensive linemen, the pass rushers, and you can make a debate for somebody. There is no debate when it comes to the wide receiver position. He was that much better than everybody else, which is why, to me, he's the greatest football player of all time.
Hey, Pete, this Kirk Cousins situation in Washington is really a weird one. Cousins decides to keep the franchise tag, and it looked like the team just kind of threw him under the bus and goes, all right, we're going to make him the second highest paid player in the NFL. But it was like, make sure you boo him this year when you come out to watch Kirk Cousins play. What'd you think of the way the Redskins handled the whole thing?
Well, I mean, bad. I mean, it was a bad situation from both sides. But I get why where they're caught in a tough situation as well. I mean, look at this. This is a top 12 quarterback, 10 to 12 maybe, and he wants top 1 to 3 money. That's dangerous. I mean, it's a dangerous thing. But the flip side is you don't want to let quarterbacks walk out the door to start the process all over again. So it's a tough, tricky negotiation. I can see it from both sides. But, you know, Kirk Cousins in the last five games last year, that's crunch time, team ready to go to the postseason, right? Five touchdown passes, five interceptions, and he went 2-3. You know, in my mind, he's a good quarterback looking for great quarterback money, and there's all that. We've seen that before. Hey, it happened here in Jacksonville back in the day. David Garrard had a couple good years, and all of a sudden they rushed to pay him. I remember sitting there talking to the owner. I go, that's a very risky situation you're doing there, and it blew up in their face. You got to be slow in your evaluation. He's had two good years. If you would have said 2 years ago, you know what? We're going to make Kirk Cousins, 2 years from now, we're going to make Kirk Cousins the highest paid quarterback or second highest paid quarterback in the league, they would have laughed at you. And so I think you have to be real careful with it. He's also risking something here. I know he thinks he has a deal done in San Francisco next year or, you know, somewhere else. But the bottom line is he better play well. If he doesn't play well, he's going to lose a lot of money.
Pete, speaking of just kind of preseason stuff, is there a team in the AFC that didn't make the playoffs last year you think can make that kind of push up there? Obviously, New England, Pittsburgh, KC, Miami, those playoff teams last year. But there's a team that didn't make it last year you think can make a run this year in the AFC?
Well, I think the trendy look is Tennessee. And you know, I'm not – they play the game like it was 1980, so you got to be real careful with that one. I mean, because this is a passing league and they want to run the football. Now, the flip side of that is, you know, defenses are getting smaller and smaller and smaller and faster and smaller. So, you know, what's going to come back is going to be people are going to get bigger and want to pound those small defenses. Yeah, you know, they played pretty good football last year. Mariota's got to come back off that injury. I think he's going to be fine doing so. They're tough, they're big, they're strong. But again, how well do you throw the football? And they can talk all they want about playing smash mouth, but at some point in the NFL, you better be able to throw the football. But that's one team I think that people are looking at.
Hey, Pete, how come Colin Kaepernick, if you really want to play football, and I'm at the point whether people think he's been blackballed or not, I don't even care, and whether you think teams have done it or not, but why wouldn't Colin Kaepernick come out and have a press conference with somebody and say, I really want to play football, I miss it, I love it, and how he stands on everything? Why hasn't he done anything like that?
That's a good question, and you know, and I'm one of those guys that is banging the other side against that whole blackball thing. And the reason I say that is nobody knows what he wants. You know, if Colin Kaepernick is willing to be a backup and take better minimum money or maybe a little bit more than that or a two-year deal for $5 million with some incentives in it to be a backup quarterback and nobody will sign him, then you got to sit there and say, you know what, there's something going on here. But nobody knows what he wants. I've heard from some teams that you know, were looking for a backup quarterback that he wanted a one-year deal and was like, you know, the talk was like in the $5 or $6 million range. I don't, you know that to be exact, but, you know, and who wants a backup quarterback for a one-year deal? You know, the backup quarterback, you want that guy to come in, kind of be the buffer between the coaches and the guy who's starting, who can go in and play for a game or two, but can be around for a while and get a good quarterback room. If you've got a rental quarterback, backup quarterback for a year, and then he's in the room, and that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I, from that standpoint, I understand why teams have been reluctant, but I'm with you. Look, his dad got at me on Twitter. He said, you have no idea. I said, well, what's he asking for then? you know, what is he asking for? Come out and say,
yeah,
this is what I will play for. And he hasn't done that. There's some theory that he's waiting for somebody to go down in camp, and it doesn't want to sign a deal until he sees what happens in camp. And if a quarterback goes down in camp, then somebody thinks they might rush out and find him as a backup,
but the other
starter.
And the only problem with that is, and you're right, there could be four or five quarterbacks go down, and he does get called. But I just think you'd want to get in camp earlier than that, and get a chance to learn the system and have some success and be ready to play. Maybe I'm off on that, but I just wish the guy would come out. And I don't want to hear from his dad, and I know you and his father went at it a little bit, but just come out and say, hey, I really want to play football. Last year was last year. I felt strongly about an issue, but I'm back, and I want to let you know it's going to be all football for me. And if it's not, and it's going to be more social issues, teams have a right to say no to that. I don't know if you agree with that, Pete, but hey, I don't want to hear that in my locker room. I mean,
they do have the right to say no. I don't, you know, look, anybody, I'm a big believer, you do what you want to do. I mean, look, if he wants to kneel, he kneels, you know, that's his prerogative. But the consequences come with it and whatever it is. There's a lot of guys who knelt with him last year still on rosters. I mean, you know, and Joe, you've been around the league a long time, you played in the league, you know, there's been a lot of guys that had plenty of distractions in the locker room, but damn, if they could play, teams look the other way.
Put up with a lot. If you put up with it, the same guy that was late, the same guys that never made curfew on the road night before games, you put up with it, including Don Shula, and you let them play on Sundays, and as long as they're good team guys on Sunday, you sure put up with a lot of stuff and don't see as much. I totally agree. Totally agree.
You mentioned Lawrence Taylor before, you know, taking the number one overall pick in that draft or whatever. There's Exhibit A. Bill Parcells was supposed to be the strictest disciplinarian in the game of football, right? Never crossed Bill Parcells. Bill T used to walk in on game day on Sunday after being out all night. They turned a blind eye to it so he could play in the game because they needed him.
Well, our great story down here is the Dolphins were playing the Cowboys. David Fry, who was a reserve special teams linebacker, and Mark Clayton went out, got in a little trouble. David Fry got sent home and got cut, and Clayton had a hell of a game the next day in Dallas.
And that's the reality of the league. I mean, that's like if people looked at Kaepernick and said, look, he's going to be the answer to my quarterback problems, he'd have been signed already, period.
Yeah.
They would have dealt with all the consequences of it. I don't think there's that. Look, I think for the most part, people don't care about what he did. I just do. I don't. Maybe I'm naive to it. I know I don't. I look at it as a football evaluation, and everybody plays, oh, he threw 16-4 for Chip Kelly. Remember, Nick Foles went, 27-2 in Chip Kelly's offense 1 year, and he can't play a lick.
But Pete, I'm no genius, and I'm a fantasy football general manager. There's Pete, not a quarterback on the Jets right now that's better than Colin Kaepernick.
No, but you also have to take into account situation, right?
Yep.
I mean, I get you. He's probably better than Jared Goff, but that's the situation they're going to look at Jared Goff. Is he better than Blake Bortles here in Jacksonville? Maybe, but they're going to play one more year to find out if Blake Bortles can turn his career around. And the Jets have three young guys. They're clearly rebuilding that roster. Maybe they'll take a look at Hackenberg. I mean, not three young guys because McCown's there, but he's always around. You know, just, McCown's appear everywhere, by the way. They're a whole family. They appear everywhere. And then we go from there. I mean, you got to look at situations like the Browns. The Browns are going to take a look at Kizer. That's what they're going to figure out. Drafting a young quarterback to take a look at Kizer. You got to look at the situations as well. Is he better than some of the starters in the league right now? Probably. But you also have to take into account the situation.
Pete, forgive me, but before we let you go, Johnny Manziel doesn't end up on a team this year, does he?
I don't think so. I mean, if Johnny Manziel ends up on a team before Colin Kaepernick does, we're going to have the end-all, be-all on Twitter, right? I mean,
Oh, my God. It's going to break.
And by the way, nor should he. Colin Kaepernick is a better football player than Johnny Manziel.
Yeah. Hey, Pete, always nice to have you, man. Appreciate you getting up with us. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care.
Pete Prisco from CBS Sports joining us here. Coral Springs High School.
Mm. South Florida guy.
South Florida guy. Brother's got a restaurant down here, right? Brews?
Is that right?
Brews Room, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, how about that?
Pompano. We're just getting the whole Prisco family out.
Why
there
not?
Right now.
Might as well.
Hey, we got a lot more coming up. 9 o'clock hour. We got to check in and check out some more text messages. Yeah, we got a lot more
couple
news.
Have come in since we talked about Peter King's Monday morning quarterback article. couple have come in since then. Well, that's the tease for you. I'll get them for you next hour.
Pete did a pretty good job of explaining his issues with it.
No, I agree. And I agree
with
Pete.
But it's all off-season stuff, man.
Well, that's it. You know who's going to care about this in 2 or 3 weeks? Nobody. Nobody at all. So that's it. All right, we'll get more into all that also. And don't forget, every morning between 8 and 8:30, we're going to play a goal sound. You're going to have a chance to win El Clasico tickets. Not right now, but between 8 and 8:30. So make sure you're listening every day for the goal sound.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.